The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another incredible Transforming Health show. Why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, hopefully not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that will help change lives, even one body at a time. What if you knew someone who had a child that hadn't developed normal language or social skills early on in life? What if it was your own child? What if your child did develop normal skills but somehow lost some or all of these skills? What if your child started using some type of repetitive body movement like hand flapping or spinning, rocking, or head shaking? What if your child just sits there and stares into space, gazes on an object, feels the shag carpet, or listens to various sounds like the dryer for what you feel is just way too long a period of time? What if you discovered that when you change a normal pattern, like buying a new blanket or replacing a favorite toy or traveling in a new vehicle, your child pulls away, has devastating tantrums, or actually tries to harm himself or herself? You see, for far too many families, the above scenarios are only too real. Once considered a rare disorder, today the condition of autism affects as many as one in every 166 children. The outcome is usually a life of educational and behavioral interventions. Many of them, by the way, highly controversial, such as potentially harmful medications, but few, if any, are supported by scientific studies. Very scary stuff. So where is a parent to turn if the answers are not to be found in mainstream medicine? Well, that's what today's show is all about. How to find the answers to help your child in the least invasive way possible. Today's Transforming Health guest is a recognized expert in the subject of autism. She travels internationally performing on the subject, teaching children and their families, and speaking to professionals. Please welcome the founder of the Brain and Body Clinic, a treatment center for autism and other brain disorders, and also the author of Miracles Are Made, a real-life guide to autism. We have Lynette Lewis with us today. Lynette, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for that perfect introduction to what autism is, especially in regards to what the experience is for the family.
Well, you know, your incredible website helped me out quite a bit there, and mentioned to you off the air, you know, this is one of those subjects where I am definitely a novice in. I mean, this is, you know, as far from my expertise as anything, basically. So I have a lot to learn today as well, and that's why I'm very interested in having you as a guest. I mean, you have obviously a lot to offer. So why don't we get right into this, and why don't you explain to the audience, you know, why was it so important for you to write this book on autism?
Wow. So for me, this has been a lifelong journey. First, my own disorder. I wouldn't say that I was autistic, although the way that the spectrum has grown and changed in, you know, in the present day, maybe right on the edge there. I had what's called a sensory integration disorder, which is often buried within the disorder of autism, since autism is itself a whole brain disorder, actually a whole brain, whole body disorder. So just to understand, sensory integration disorder is when your senses are confused and your eyes work like your ears, or they do sort of half the job of your ears. I know that sounds unusual, but it is unusual. Mm-hmm. And your pathways for your senses have places where they converge in the brain. And when they get confused or when messages go into the wrong place, you get things like seeing sound. So for me, that was color. So I used to, every Sunday when the cartoon would be read by the guy on the radio, I'd be watching it. But I'd be watching like the vision of all these colors coming off the radio. And everybody was always talking about how I was so completely fascinated by this show with no awareness that I'm
right.
It was hilarious.
I mean, it sounds interesting, but I mean, obviously, if you're going through it, I'd imagine it would be a very scary thing as well.
No, because you don't know you're going through it.
Okay.
The thing is, whatever you are, and this is, I think, a really important point for parents who are, you know, seeing their children and wondering, you know, what is this child's experience? It's a very big chasm between our experience and the experience of the person with, say, a sensory integration disorder. I don't have that disorder anymore, but I did not know I had it till it went away.
Now, does this not also happen to people later on in life with a specific trauma that can occur?
Yes, you can get it from a brain injury. You can get it from a drug problem, like a street drug problem, but also being administered incorrectly a drug by the doctor. So any kind of interruption into that sensory processing can do all kinds of things. I mean, it doesn't stop just at seeing colors.
Okay, so let's explain this a little further. Let's put ourselves in the place of where you were, where you first started out. All of the parents listening to the show right now, all of the people that are thinking of becoming parents in the future, and, you know, they have a child, and the child is different somehow. How do you tell if a child actually has autism? Because, I mean, isn't it diagnosed usually quite a few years into life? Like, it's not usually diagnosed right away, is it?
Well, more and more it's getting diagnosed much younger, and actually there's some new studies out now based on EEG information where they're able to discern at around 9 months, so that's very young, at around 9 months they're able to discern the likelihood, and with really good percentages coming in, of a child going the path of a spectrum child, a child that might have some form of autism, because there's many forms. So it's actually, it's like a huge arena. We could spend the entire hour just talking about autism itself and the different places on the spectrum, and, you know, and what, why one place is, you know, if you're PDD, what does that mean? What is pervasive developmental disorder as compared to classic autism? And does it make a difference to your child's changes or possibilities? And yes, it does, but it also matters what doctor diagnosed you and what his favorite diagnosis was and how you answered the questions. I'm afraid it's not as simple as a blood test that comes up with, you know, too much of this, so therefore you have.
So Lynette, then what are the major differences, if you will, between autism and other developmental disorders? Because, I mean, let's face it, there are very common elements to all of the disorders, aren't there?
Yes, there's overlap with everything. I think, and especially if you, I don't know if the audience knows what the DSM-4 is, but it's a manual, or 5 now, it's a manual for looking up a disorder and seeing what would be the list of behaviors I'd have if I had this mental illness. And really, if you read it, you find yourself every 5 minutes going, I have that! And I have that one too, and
right.
My children, and my husband, and all of my relatives. So, yes, there's overlap in everything. With autism being a whole brain, whole body disorder, there's pretty much every aspect of mental illness can be found inside a spectrum individual who's strongly impacted.
So tell me this, and why is it, I mean, I understand that they have much better diagnostic procedures now, and 9 months is obviously very young to diagnose, which is great, but yet the statistics still show that it's usually 2-3 years before most children are diagnosed. Why do you think that is? Why do you think
children... Well, the study I just told you about is real new, and so the difference between studying something, bringing it to the scientific eye, getting acceptance, getting it into the doctor's office, and making it a mainstream choice is many, many years. So I just happen to be always getting this information because it's my specialty.
Right.
That means there's hope in the future for an earlier diagnosis, which, of course, makes for a different trajectory of your life.
I guess I'm trying to get more, I'm trying to go more towards, is it because parents aren't sure what to do and they don't bring their child to the right specialist earlier, or is it because the doctors don't know how to really ascertain whether this child needs help or not?
I think it's a little bit of everything, but I'm going to hone in on a favorite just so that I can answer you.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, when I was doing this, so to give your listenership an understanding of who I am, I went from having my own problem to then adopting children with autism. I adopted 4. I raised 8 kids, and 4 were on the spectrum, and then 3 improved enough to be off the spectrum, and 1 still lives with me and is extremely challenged. So I've had a long, long journey of learning and trying to come to understand different things. Now, when I adopted them, they came damaged. I already knew there was something up. But in my grandchildren, we had a few kids that would have gone into a diagnostic situation, but we worked with them right away. So I think that I have had this breadth of experience from self-experience and then also from working internationally. And what I see the most is that, number one, a lot of the problems that you would spot in an autistic child are kind of common in a variety of developmental issues that straighten themselves out.
Oh, okay.
You know, for example, my synesthesia cured itself. I never had a treatment for that, synesthesia being the seeing colors.
Right.
So, you know, many kids go through various phases when they're very young of these kinds of strange behaviors. They have sort of an inanimate object behavior. They have parallel play behavior. Boys are different from girls. There's always the story of the kid that never talked till he was 4.
Right, right. So, Lynette, let's hold it there. We're going to have to go out for our first break. When we come back, maybe you can share with the audience and, when we should be maybe a little more concerned and really take action to bring our child to the right place to get that treatment. Because, you know, what do we really look for? Because I think that's the real issue here.
Okay.
And then we can move on to all of the various treatments, including conventional treatments and some of the non-conventional treatments, because you explore all of these in your book. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and my guest today is Lynette Louise. Miracles Are Made is the book, A Real-Life Guide to Autism, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way, with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Transforming Health. Very, very interesting topic. Much overdue. A lot of emails from people wanting to know more about autism. I think there's so much conflicting information out there. And children with autism can be overly sensitive to various stimuli like texture, light, sound, smells, or even taste. They can exhibit delayed motor skills such as walking or riding a tricycle or even chewing. And some children with autism may prefer to play alone or maybe not interact with other children the way you think a child should. An autistic child may only be interested in lining things up or putting them in order repeatedly, flicking lights on and off, or opening and closing a favorite door. An autistic child may display unusual motor behaviors, for instance, peering at things from the corners of their eyes, or walking on tiptoes, or walking with an unusual gait. The point is, there is no one mold fits all when it comes to autism. Its symptoms can be as individual as the child itself. I guess the million-dollar question is, what can we do about it? And it turns out, quite a bit. Please welcome once again the founder of the Brain and Body Clinic and the author of Miracles Are Made, A Real Life Guide to Autism, Lynette Lewis is with us. Lynette, we were talking about in the first half, we started to discuss, you know, how to find out whether your child really does have a disorder like autism, and how do you really differentiate it from just, I don't know, let's say otherwise unusual behavior, if you will. What is a parent really to look for, since a lot of autistic children do very different things, even though, you know, and it doesn't really fall under one specific spectrum?
Okay, I would say don't look for autism. Because if you're looking for autism, you'll probably build it. And I know that sounds like, oh, can I make my child autistic? Well, if you have a perception that you're, you know, something you're really afraid of seeing and you start looking for it, sort of like I was explaining earlier, you read the DSM-4 and you go, I have this disorder and this disorder. If you're looking for autism, you're going to start to see all the various bits and pieces of it and make yourself scared. First of all, autistic kids are adorable, cute, fun. They learn like everybody else. They learn different from everyone else, but they learn just as everyone else learns. So it's not the end of the world if your child's autistic. It's they're my favorite kids. They're fun. I love, they're a lot more work.
Yeah.
They're busier. So number one, let's get rid of that. Let's just throw that out so that you have open eyes, because I'm going to tell you something right now that could change the course of your child's life, could make it so that you never get a diagnosis but would have. Okay, so let's start from child's born, brand new baby. It's your third baby. So you know, this one seems a little bit fussy. It's day two, and you're still having trouble getting the baby to breastfeed, and crying all the time, and the doctors are saying, I don't know, just a fussy baby, and won't latch on, and okay, something's up. Now, this is the moment where you can panic, or you can go, all right, what's up? You have a job as a parent, just as your physicians have jobs. As a parent, you're actually the decider of all the professionals and all the therapies and everything that's going to come through your child's life for quite some time. So this is the moment to take a deep breath, to not panic, to go, why won't my child latch? Why is my child screaming? Let's pretend it's a girl.
Let's pretend that every time you pick up your child, you do everything you thought you should. You try to get the little girl to breastfeed. You start singing a beautiful lullaby. You're trying to look in her eyes. You've got, you know, maybe the sun pouring in your windows, and your child is screaming and trying to pull away and going stiff. Break it down one step at a time. Don't sing. Don't look in eyes. Lower the lights. Keep breaking it down until you're doing one sensory thing at a time, just in case. So let's say that worked. All of a sudden, if you're absolutely quiet and you don't move your body a lot, don't try to snuggle or caress or tickle, just breastfeed. The baby's okay. Body relaxes. You just discovered a very important thing. So the reason I'm starting at this moment is because, in actual fact, many, many times when I talk to parents, they did have little inklings here and there, but they didn't have permission, by the way we're raised and taught to parent, they didn't have permission to take over right then and there and go, I am the detective of my child's existence. What should I do? The parents that did that instinctively actually probably assisted in the healing of the sensory integration disorder that was to come.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, you said something so powerful there, Lynette, whether you realized it or not, and that is we are the ones that are in control. I mean, the children are 100% dependent upon us. And, you know, and we are the ones that choose and hire whatever professional we decide to bring into their lives. So, you know, I think the mistake a lot of parents make, and you can correct me or you can intervene anytime you want on this one, but I think parents will go to their doctor or go to a doctor, and the doctor will tell them, they'll diagnose whatever it is, ADHD, depression, anxiety, whatever it is, and give them a medication, and the parent never goes out and investigates after that. The parent literally just says, oh, well, the doctor said this must be what the problem is, and I'm going to do whatever the doctor says. Should we go out and get, you know, two, three opinions? I mean, what do you recommend to the average parent out there if there is a problem with the child? You know, what do you do? Do you go out there and do you, you know, try to shop around with different specialists? And what are you really looking for? Are you looking for that feeling that you're getting from that specialist? Or, you know, what is it that these parents should be really looking into?
Well, I think there's a couple of really important points that you can hang on to. One is, first, check with yourself. So if you go and you meet a doctor and you go, phew, he gave me a medication, everything's taken care of, I don't have to worry, and that's why you like your doctor, you really need to analyze your own feelings, your own fears, what's up for you, because you're abdicating responsibility. If, on the other hand, you went to your doctor, and let's say he gave you a medication, whatever he gives you. Autism, by the way, doesn't have a good, you know, rapport with medications, but there are a few things that are helping a little bit. So,
don't they put these children on antidepressants?
You know, some, but that's not a go-to. That's not a go-to.
But I mean,
the new anti-seizure, Lamictal, is the big new favorite for everybody. But I'd really like to answer the other question first.
Sure.
I think what you do is you say to yourself, wow, I feel like this doctor's listening to me. Didn't know everything, but was willing to look things up, was willing to be my partner in discovery, because that's what you're going to be. You're going to be a discoverer with your child. The world of autism is fraught with many different approaches, many different therapies, many different viewpoints. So you're the parent, and you're the one that's going to decide which of these paths you're going to take. And my experience is many of the paths work. Depends on whether you've chose one that you were comfortable with and stayed proactive inside. So that's
so
the first.
From your research, what are your views on the medications that are used to treat autism these days?
Well, it's not even from my research. It's from the work I do. I work with neurofeedback, and that's biofeedback for the brain, which we can get into later if you want. But
right.
I get such good results with the work that I do that I don't like it when the kids go on medication unless they absolutely need it in order to not be violent, you know, while we figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I can usually change that in a day. So I don't like it because it's more for me to contend with, and then you get, you know, the brain response to that problem and then another problem. But that being said, that's because I have a special tool, and I have a special ability to work with that tool. So not everybody has that tool, and I don't have an opinion that's blanket across the globe that says don't use medication, because I've seen families be saved by the fact that their child went on a medication that made it so that they were safe.
Wow, interesting, because like I said, there's so much controversy on the medications that are being prescribed, and you know, there's just not a lot of hard science showing any confirmation that a lot of these medications are doing any good. They're not, you know, they're certainly not healing the majority
there,
of these
perfect,
children.
Perfect, Brad. Okay, that's the issue. There is a split, a strong split in the world of people dealing with autism between the ones who are looking to try and help take the brain towards a recovered state and the ones who say, look, this is what you got. You'll have it for life. Let's help you cope with it.
Right.
And let's teach them some skills. Now, these are such different worlds, and depending on where you land as a parent inside these two worlds is going to decide what are the right choices for you. And I literally mean that. I don't mean that one world's better than another. Understand this is a big job. So if you're going to, you know, work with your child and you are better at working with your child in a way that's much more like teaching one skill after another really dogmatically, then do that because you'll be better at it because it's what you're good at.
Right. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and my guest today is Lynette Lewis. The book is Miracles Are Made, A Real-Life Guide to Autism. When we come back, I'm going to be asking Lynette about her views on the vaccine conspiracies. Let's find out, you know, what Lynette thinks about the possibility of vaccines playing a role in autism. There's obviously a lot of controversy there. If you haven't done so already, please go into Facebook and friend me on Transforming Health with Brad King. We let you know all of the updates of all of the incredible guests, such as Lynette Lewis, who's on the show today. That's Facebook and Transforming Health with Brad King, and we do a lot of giveaways on there as well with a lot of my product line. We will be right back, and we're going to get into the role that diet also plays in autism because Lynette has done a great deal of research in this area. Should be fascinating. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living The Vital Life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health on the second half of the show. What an interesting topic today. Obviously, a fascinating guest that's really bringing us through this topic. And, I always get excited about a show when I'm actually interviewing a really good researcher, a really good guest. And as I'm interviewing them and listening to what they have to say, I'm thinking, wow, I have to go back and listen to this show just as a listener. And this is one of those shows. So, once considered a very rare disorder, today autism affects as many as one in every 166 children. Now, that means that nearly every 20 minutes a new case of autism is diagnosed, and the diagnosis is typically not made until the first few years or so of life, sometimes much later. Although, as our guest today says, the diagnostic procedures are showing that we can actually diagnose a child at about 9 months of age now. Our research is showing that early identification and intervention can make the critical difference for children with autism, although your child is never too old to be helped to at least a moderate degree. Because autism is still not completely understood, there is much speculation and opposing views, of course, that remain in the field, even as new and better ways are discovered to help these children optimize their skills. The problem is that all the information that exists on autism can be overwhelming and conflicting, to say the least. If you're a parent of an autistic child, you already know this all too well. So the question is, what do you do? Do you opt for traditional approaches to treatment, or do you look to alternative or holistic approaches? And if so, where do you even begin? Today's Transforming Health guest is a recognized expert in the subject of autism. She travels internationally, performing on the subject, teaching children and their families, and also speaking to professionals. Please welcome back the founder of the Brain and Body Clinic and also the author of an incredible book called Miracles Are Made, A Real-Life Guide to Autism. Lynette Louise is with us. And Lynette, let's get right into this vaccine controversy, if you will. I really want to get your opinion. There has been a great deal of controversy that's been raised about the role of vaccines as a possible cause of autism. And I think in particular, there's one ingredient within vaccines, which is called thimerosal, which is a mercury compound. It's also used as an antiseptic, an antifungal, and a preservative. And this was, by the way, this was the ingredient that was present in the diphtheria and the tetanus shot as well. So this is what's really come under a lot of scrutiny, and obviously you must have been asked this before. What's your opinion on this?
Well, actually, I have an opinion on mercury itself, which is part of what thimerosal is about. Here's the thing. I know many families where the children were developing well, and they had their inoculations, and then all of a sudden they're very sick, they're losing language, it correlates. Now, there's a saying in science, correlation does not prove causation. So just because so many families have these videos, and literally it's heartbreaking, they have these beautiful videos of these children who are functioning so well and speaking so well, and then having the, a few days after their inoculation or immunization, depending on the term you want to use, they start to regress and lose skills. Well, they're sick, so you feel like it'll bounce back, but it doesn't. So from seeing this, it's pretty hard to argue against it being a player in that child's story.
Right.
But it's a bigger question than that. So unfortunately, a lot of controversy has come around the doctor who first pointed this out and looking at his data, and, governments have gotten involved, and it's kind of swept the story into a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And
if we just step away from that mess and get out of the politics and get out of the history of why the discovery happened or how the finger got pointed and ask the question, is it a player, then I'd have to say yes, but not in everybody's case.
Sure, but it should be your individual choice to vaccinate your child or not.
That's certainly my belief, that it should be your choice, that you should have that right. And since you've always had that right by claiming religious reasons, if you have that right for a religious reason, then you should have that right just for ethical, moral, and parental love reasons.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, it's definitely a player. Definitely there are kids that it had no effect. It had nothing to do with it. Fact is, inside of autism, autism itself is diagnosed by behavior. But now, as we're getting better at finding things and other diagnoses, we have many kids who have things like neuronal growth migration disorder and autism.
So, you know, we still have so much to cover, and I think one of the most important aspects of what you teach is the importance of diet when it comes to autism. And, you know, first of all, conventional doctors, for the most part, who have, you know, really little to absolutely no schooling in nutrition, a lot of them still don't believe that nutrition plays a role in anything, whether it's cancer or autism. But, I mean, obviously you found that diet definitely does play an important component in helping to heal autistic children. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I can also give a word of advice on that. You can get more respect from people if you call it an allergic reaction. So there's a lot more going on here, but if you call it an allergic reaction and you say that my child, whenever they have milk, they have an allergic reaction, then everybody's more respectful because allergists have long been accepted into mainstream medicine.
Right.
So that is a way of getting sort of heard on your subject.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's sad, but interesting.
And it's a kind of truth, because if your body's not dealing with something like milk or gluten, which are the two most commonly known issues with autism, if it's not dealing well with that, it's just as correct to say they're allergic to it as it is to say, oh, they have leaky gut syndrome, so these proteins and these, you know, they're getting out of the stomach and they're getting into the system without being broken down correctly.
But Lynette, just on that note, before you get right into nutrition, what's interesting about what you just said is, first of all, over half of our immune system develops and resides in the gut, because that's where it has to neutralize all of the infectious microbes and, you know, everything else that goes on. And there's a lot of research that shows the majority of children with autism do have impaired gastrointestinal health. So that would make a lot of sense with allergies, because allergies are obviously an overactive immune response the majority of the time. So when you deal with diet, do you start with trying to heal the gut?
Myself, I always start with the brain, because I have the tool, I go straight to the brain. And then I start isolating I really, really, really advocate choosing according to family style. Now, I travel all over the world. So, for example, this is a great example of why I have the belief system I do around diet. I'm in India. I'm dealing with a girl who has severe, severe, severe seizure disorder and autism. And I'm thinking ketogenic diet. And do you know the ketogenic
diet?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm looking out the window at cows that are, you know, they can't be touched. And knowing that this would be a strong component of the ketogenic diet, and looking what would be the alternative, and actually finding an alternative, something similar but not using beef. And my point is that if I just went whole hog after them doing this particular diet in the exact way that I think it should be done for her seizure disorder, we'd have ended up with them doing nothing.
Right.
Because I'd have come, you know, I'd have been butting heads with their belief system. So what I try to do, and this is even important in, you know, in our culture here, where you'll have a mom come home and she'll say, oh, wow, we're not going to have any of this processed food, and we're not going to have any of these hormone-fed animals, and we're not going to have, I read this book, and we're not going to, and the next thing you know, they're having a divorce because the husband's
it's
going,
just not realistic. It's
right,
just not
like,
realistic.
I want my steak, I want my big loaf of French bread, and don't you deny me.
Right, right. So, well, it's like the book In Defense of Food, where, you know, all of these people do become raw foodists and vegetarians and vegans, and they forgot that, you know, the author basically said eat plants most of the time, not all
right.
the time. Yeah, people get a little carried away. But so let's talk about when you talk about a ketogenic diet, are you saying that a ketogenic diet could possibly help autistic children?
Well, very often with autistic children, you also have seizure disorder. So remember, I referred to autism as the whole brain disorder that often has other things.
Right.
It has all these other disorders in it. So many autistic kids have a seizure disorder and or develop one in adolescence. Now, it's not always the case, but even the ones that don't have a seizure disorder, very often when they do an fMRI, which is a test that you have to look in the inner workings of the brain, they'll see that there's an overactive area in, say, the basal ganglia, for example, which is a really deep inside the brain, and they'll say, oh, well, this is a form of seizure, and that's why Lamictal, which is an anti-seizure medicine, is kind of a new favorite amongst doctors to hand out for kids with autism, because a lot of autistic brain activity sort of does that. It has a seizure-like.
So Lynette, I'm trying to get right to the point here for the parents that are listening right now, because I want to give them actual tools that they can use.
Yes,
so when we talk about a ketogenic diet, are you talking about specifically just a very low carbohydrate diet, or are you talking about a no carbohydrate diet?
If I were to look into the ketogenic diet, I would do it as strictly as I can, and it's high fats, high proteins, and that would be because that particular child showed signs, had a seizure disorder that possibly matched that. I wouldn't just do it for autism.
So, Lynette, what else can parents do dietary-wise then to help their children with these types of behavioral disorders?
Okay, so there's going to be a lot of choices. You can Google that. I'll help you hone it. What I would suggest is that you just take out one thing. Start with milk and gluten because these are the two most known. So take out milk and wait for a couple of months and then put it back in. And if you see a strong difference, it's when you put it back in that you'll see the bigger difference rather than as the, you know, when you first pull it out, you go through the whole withdrawal thing and they're wanting it and so you might get some behaviors. When you put it back in, it should be obvious if it's a match.
Okay. So basically you're just, it's kind of an elimination diet. You're eliminating a specific food group for a certain amount of time to see if something clears up or something gets better.
Yeah, if I wanted to give a sort of a general answer to everybody, then I'd say that. I'm not going to sanction. There's a million of them. There's many diets.
What about, just very quickly before we go out, what about probiotic supplements? I mean, I'm talking about, the good bacteria, not simply eating yogurt. What about good probiotic supplements that have a lot of science behind them?
Yeah, sometimes actually that's problematic because sometimes the child doesn't have the necessary enzyme to break it down correctly. So, you know, one of the therapies that is often really beautiful for autistic kids is enzyme therapy, which sets up the gut correctly to handle the good probiotic.
Interesting. Okay. We're going to go out and come back for the final segment of Transforming Health with Lynette Louise. We'll be right back with this incredible topic of autism and Miracles Are Made, a real-life guide to autism. Don't go anywhere.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com. to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and we're talking about this incredible subject of autism today. I'm going to switch gears a little here because our guest is also a specialist in another area, and we're going to talk about that as well because this is one of the modalities that she specifically uses in helping to treat autistic children. Do you ever feel like your brain is working against you, like you're constantly in a battle with your own brain? Like if you could just turn certain parts of it off and other parts of it on at different times, then you would have greater control over your focus and your feelings. Well, believe it or not, you actually can, because your brain is so complex. It's constantly running so many different programs at the same time. It could sometimes give a little too much activation to specific tasks and not enough to others. And when this happens, different areas of the brain can get stuck, if you will, in these overactive or underactive states, and it starts to feel like you can't control your feelings or your focus. Well, we're going to talk about that now. Please welcome back the founder of the Brain and Body Clinic and the author of Miracles Are Made, A Real-Life Guide to Autism, Lynette Louise is with us. Lynette, you're a board certified in biofeedback. Tell us about this procedure and how it can really help, not just in autism, but obviously in a lot of other disorders.
I'd love to. Just to be specific, I'm board certified, doubly board certified in neurofeedback, which is biofeedback for the brain. So it's specific to the brain. To understand biofeedback, you have to think in terms of, actually, let's talk about feedback. You give feedback all the time. For example, I'm going to go with what you just said, how sometimes you get overexcited and you get stuck. So you're 15 years old and you have a really big crush on this beautiful 16-year-old girl. And one day you're doing labs together in science class and she turns to you and she says, "You are so brilliant. I want to be your lab partner." And you spend the rest of the day unable to think of a thing. You can't take in a lesson. You just let them all go, "She likes me, she likes me." Okay.
That never happened. Just
but it happened to somebody out there. And they're stuck. They're stuck in this happy place. Usually when people talk about the brain disorders, they always talk about the negatives. So let's think about that. You are still stuck. That's that overexcited, can't let anything else in. My brain is only in this one spot place. Now, that's okay if it only happens to you every once in a while and, you know, you're only 15 for so long and that's fine. But you don't want to have a brain that does that to you. And sometimes, for example, in autism, you might love cars so much that every time you see a green car with a license plate ending in XYZ, you're like that for weeks. You are so happy. It can be that strange. With biofeedback, we're able to say to the brain, now you're only you're only using this one rhythm. You're only using this one rhythm. We need you to break that up a little bit. We need you to sort of move some of this stuff over in this part of the brain and move, and you start to change the picture. So how do we do that? Well, we do it with feedback, the same way that the person got stuck by being asked to be a lab partner by the beautiful 16-year-old girl. That was feedback. That was, hey, you rock, feedback. But we isolate the feedback, and we do it to the actual process of the brain. That's why it's called biofeedback. It's about the biology of your body or your brain, in this case, brain.
So, Lynette, how are you doing that? Are you doing that with a machine? Are you doing that through... tell us exactly what that is.
You put a sensor on the head, and you read the EEG. If I was doing it to the heartbeat, I'd be listening with a stethoscope or putting an EKG on. The idea is to be able to take what's going on in the head and put it to where the person can visually see it or auditorily hear something about it.
So how effective have you found this procedure to be for autism specifically?
I'm really good with this particular therapy in the home of the person and adding behavioral stuff. So I want to say that first because I'm going to blow your mind with my answer and say it's been 100% effective.
And when you say 100%, what are you
talking about?
You've been able to, I mean, can we use the word cure autism?
Well, you can use the word, but you're going to get controversy.
Well, I'm just asking, when you say 100%, that's...
When I say 100% effective, what I mean is if I walk into the house and there's a list of problems and I pick one or two major ones, 3 days later, they're under control. So if you can follow that pathway and continue forward and continually do that and continually do that, the child continues to get better. Now, to say... when you want to say the word cure, we run into the problem that so many people have, which is they think in terms of autism or brain disorders as if they're like a cold.
Right.
You know, and they're not. And human development's not like that. You never develop like that. Your parents taught you something, and then you forgot it the next day, and then they taught it to you again, you forgot it the next day. In fact, you didn't even bother to learn it until you left home.
Right. So are you saying this is something you have to keep up with ongoing?
I think what I'm actually saying there is that to see change and see children come off the spectrum, which they do, they come off the spectrum, but they come off the spectrum with many therapies. To see that, you have to continually keep moving forward, and not all children will. Some are more strongly afflicted. Some benefit more from certain therapies than others. I will say that this therapy is the only one I've ever used that always works, as in always causes the improvement I'm after, that doesn't have a ceiling of working. So we just keep going. You can move it all the way to peak performance.
See, because when you're talking about getting these kind of reactions within 2 to 3 treatments, I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, if there's any parents that are listening to the show right now and do have a child with some type of developmental disorder, they're going to, you've got their attention, obviously, because there's not a lot of things that provide that quick a response, obviously.
True, but there are some. It's a question of do they stop? Like, so
right.
The nice thing about neurofeedback here is that it doesn't have a ceiling. I think that's the biggest part. Because you can often walk into a home where everybody's just confused and having a hard time. You know, you could probably change some dietary things and change some behavioral things and take some stress away.
Sure.
And just, just by being a professional that's seen it a million times and
so is the neural feedback, is it calming the brain? Is that partly how it's working?
It actually teaches the brain how to function differently.
Okay.
The same way that when you teach the brain anything. So to understand it is quite complex, but I'm going to simplify it a lot. Think of it like your brain learns from pattern recognition. And it recognizes that every time I go towards the street, my mom screams. Now, if I like that, I'm going to go to the street more. If I don't like that, I'm going to stop. But one thing I did notice, and that's because my brain recognized the pattern, was that every time I go towards the street, my mom screams. Pattern recognition. That's how we learn.
Okay. Lynette, fascinating. I've got to have you back for a whole show on neurofeedback.
Okay.
Neurofeedback. But I do want everyone to understand, you know, you may just be an exceptional practitioner with neurofeedback because, you know, not everybody's going to get those kind of results.
That's
I think it really is highly dependent on the practitioner that's using the device as well. Would you not agree?
Yes, I would agree. And
okay.
You've
been listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest, Lynette Louise, Miracles Are Made. That's the book. For more information, www.brainbody.net. Lynette, thank you so much for being my guest. It was fascinating.
Good. Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Take care. We'll see you next week. We've got another fascinating show. Please come back, and we'll see you then. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.